Hello and welcome to Themed for Your Pleasure. I'm Chris and I'm here with...
Alexi Vandenberg from Rabbit Fanboy Marketing.
Rabbit Fanboy Marketing, excellent. And you represent a number of creators, right?
I do. I represent creative properties pretty much right now across the country, which kind of surprises the hell out of me. Yeah. Properties including games like Concardia, which is a, it's actually a fascinating thing from Michael Whitehouse, who is a game creator on the East Coast. Mm-hmm. It's a game for conventions and for convention goers, for fun and prizes. It's also a good way to communicate with, you know, con staff and con attendees. Mm-hmm. And also with vendors and con attendees, which, as you know, advertising at con space, it's always like, I don't want to be in space number X.
Yes.
You know.
Oh, yeah, that's battling for the spaces is always hard. Now, Concardia, now give me just a very brief description of the play of the game, because this is one of the things, I'm a huge game geek.
Okay.
Yeah.
Actually, it's a very simple. You have an attack power, a defense power. You can literally play one cycle of Concardia in about 5 minutes.
Wow.
And it's meant to be quick, simple, easy, and really the idea is that at the end of the game you have bid your cards. Whatever you have put on the table, that is what has been played, and winner takes all.
Oh, wow.
And at the end of the convention, the person who has essentially the most complete set of cards... Well, congratulations, you've won. And it's something that allows vendors to essentially have a business card and a Concardia card merged together. So they, you know, they get that. They get essentially, since it is an augmented reality card game, they get tweets and text messages as the con is going on to find out where new cards are being introduced. So it allows vendors to say, you know, yes, I'm in Space X, but I got a card.
Excellent. Excellent. Now give us another example of someone you represent.
Okay. I represent O.M. Gray.
Oh, really?
Yeah. She is wonderful. Olivia is one of the...
Absolutely wonderful.
Love her to death. And O.M. Gray has come out, and she is not only doing her Avalon series, but she is also speaking wonderfully for the community in terms of making sure that everybody knows that everyone has the horror stories about cosplay and consent.
Yeah.
And about women's rights issues within fandom. Mm-hmm. And also, you know, to be fair... healthy sexual attitudes within fandom as well. And she speaks on that on many, 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 many venues. And we help represent her on that as well. E.A. Jensen from the Shadows of Grabensburg series.
Oh, really? Oh, nice.
And she's wonderful. Shadows of Grabensburg is weird New Jersey. So it's in my neck of the woods, so I get to geek out about, like, all the stuff that she mentions there. Like, you know, the Devil's Altar in New Jersey, which I don't know if that's poetic or not.
It probably is. Yeah, it's interesting you mentioned Olivia, that I believe she wrote for one of these zines I do. I think she may have written for Journey Planet back in the day.
I believe she did.
Yeah, and, wow. Worlds colliding, ever getting smaller and smaller.
Ever getting smaller. Yes. We also represent, this is a new one, the Nathaniel Johnstone Band.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Nathaniel's an old friend. He and his band have been moving in terms of expanding their marketplace. They have been a West Coast phenomena, and they really want to begin to move eastward as well. And we had an opportunity to talk at Jeff Mock's Steampunk World Fair in Piscataway, and we were able to sit down, and I was like, let's do this. And he's like, I love your work. And I was like, I love your music. And it was just, you know, a match made in geek heaven.
Yeah, he was at the first and I think the third Nova Albion convention, which my fiance was the ops manager for, and I met him there. And I said to him, you know, you're a really nice guy, which is a good thing because I might mug you for your Dobro-Lin, the mandolin-Dobro combination. That's just beautiful. Excellent. And you also represent, I believe, Starfall?
I represent Starfall, the TV series. We are in pre-production right now. Coming the winter of 2014, we will be airing our first episode. Nice. John Ellis, who is the producer, is very excited about some of the inroads we have been making, including, you know, talking to distribution networks like Netflix, which looks like it's being very positively received, and being able to get that and move forward with people like Ellen Dubin, who, you know, I admit I have, like, a complete fan crush on.
And, well, you should.
Yeah, yeah, I admit it. And my wife's like, should I be concerned? I was like, no, I have no chance. And I love you, just to make sure. I have to cover my bases there.
Yeah, that's really important, actually. Now you represent things all across the board. I mean, what's the sort of the biggest difficulty about representing so many different types of creators?
Well, I think finding the niche and actually being able to communicate effectively with fans on all of the different aspects of what we represent. For instance, there are things that Concordia can do that, frankly, if we tried with Starfall, it would fall flat on its face. So it allows me to have to not only wear a lot of hats, but scramble around a lot. You know, somebody's like, sometimes you sound like an agent and sometimes you don't. And I was like, that's because sometimes I am an agent and sometimes I am not. It all depends on the client. It all depends on what they need and what their needs are. It's funny because when I started this, I never expected it to take off like it did, actually.
Yeah.
This was supposed to be a side project, and it is a side project that has eaten my life.
I know how that goes.
I'm sure you do. And what happens is that we sit there, and I have realized that the fan community is at its heart an entrepreneurial and creative effort. And not only do we geek out over the stuff that we love, but we go, I want to create something or have a part in that creation.
Okay, that totally makes sense.
So what happens is that's why you have people who are like, when I was a kid, I was the youngest kid in Central Florida fandom.
Oh, wow.
I was a 9-year-old whippersnapper running around conventions with people going, keep them away from that aisle, please. You know? But for the most part, even then, you had people, I have a pattern for a Starfleet uniform from Star Trek II. Wow. You know? And they made their own pattern. And, you know, I'm sure Paramount was drowning in the saliva of its own nervous breakdown. But, you know, for the most part, we are an entrepreneurial community. The problem is we are not a good marketing community.
Yeah. And that's where folks like yourself come in.
Yes. Big blabbermouths like me.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I like to say
I'm not really a marketer or a public relations guy. I'm just loud. Now, let me ask you, you were at the Steampunk World's Fair, which is a convention I've wanted to get to for years.
Okay.
And it seems like the one that I would really like to get to the most. What'd you think of it?
I loved Steampunk World's Fair. Jeff Mock puts on a quality event. I mean, he had a giant 20-foot-tall robot that was steam-powered.
Wow.
In the middle of essentially a 2-hotel radius convention.
Wow.
And I'm like, it's a giant steam-powered robot. I've got nothing to say to that except how cool is that. And he also had it marching at the Gay Pride Parade in New York City. So
oh, nice.
I can't really, yeah. It's Steampunk's World Fair is one of those things that you look at and it's great to have everybody come together. And unfortunately, I think the Northeast is lacking in a lot of convention areas.
Yeah.
Strangely enough. I mean, we have a huge collection of people in the Northeast. I mean, you know, it's not a Northeast-centric country, but we do have, I mean, you have New York City, which alone should, you know, the attendees that you can bring there, you know, it's beyond the wildest dreams of avarice for most con creators. However, we don't seem to have a lot of events.
Yeah. And NYC doesn't have many. Jersey has a bunch. Philly has a ton. And Boston has a ton.
Yeah.
But yeah, around New York, the real problem with New York, of course, is cost.
It's cost.
Yeah, and I mean, I do a steampunk zine called Exhibition Hall.
Yes.
And so I've been reviewing various steampunk conventions, and we're sort of going through the steampunk convention crash right now. We had the boom in 2010, 11, 12, And just, but that seems to be one of the ones that's going to survive.
It will survive.
Yeah, and that makes me happy.
Jeff puts on a quality show. Mm-hmm. Honestly, he has a great team. He is very well organized. And one of the things that I look at Jeff, and as somebody who did director of operations for TackyCon in Florida, mm-hmm. Organization is always the key to any convention. And it's always the one place where conventions falter, or it's at least most noted that they falter.
Yeah.
Jeff has a team. He knows what's going on. And honestly, he has events going bang, 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 bang. By the time that Steampunk World's Fair is going on, he is getting ready to do the Geek Creation Show.
Yeah.
And so he has his stuff set up. However, what I love is that he's still kept the small feel to it.
Mm-hmm.
He's kept the fact that it is for the fans, by the fans.
Nice.
It is not, I mean, we've been to conventions that are essentially corporate-driven, to be blunt, trade shows.
Yeah.
And, okay, I can dig that, and I appreciate what they do, and they have giant stuff and props that I honestly could never afford in my wildest dreams, and, you know, my mm-hmm. wife would fire me from my own company if I ever even thought of it. But I would say this, that there's something missing.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, it's kind of the gap that Rabbit Fanboy fills in the same way, that there are a lot of marketers out there.
Mm-hmm.
There are not a lot of marketers who live within our community.
Yeah.
Because, well, just like Jeff Mock, he's a fan. He knows what we like mm-hmm. because he likes it himself.
Yeah.
And he is willing to go and say, gee, I want Steam Power Giraffe. I want the Nathaniel Johnstone Band.
Yeah.
You know, I want Celtica Pandorica. Mm-hmm. You know, to be fair, and I have seen it happen before, where sci-fi and marketing, when they get together, when fandom and marketing get together, it's not always a good match. In fact, sometimes we circle each other like two virgins on a date.
Yeah, true.
You know, I mean, marketers don't look at this in the same way, and they go, okay, they seem to like goofy characters. Quick, bring out Neelix or Wesley, you know. And then they wonder and ask us why we fan rage over that.
Yeah.
You know, Neelix.
Yeah.
Neelix himself. You know, there's a great quote from one of the executives when Voyager was coming out that said that, you know, Neelix was going to be the breakout character of Voyager. And I actually have pasted that on my wall.
Oh, wow.
Because, you know, it is a symbol of, well, they get that fandom is important. They don't understand how fandom, in fact, works. Yeah. So Rabbit Fanboy was actually built around the idea of me and my wife being fans first and being marketers second. So I have the best job in the world. I get to promote stuff that I already love.
And, you know, honestly, if you can get that, you're great.
Yeah.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, thank you so much for appearing.
Thank you.
It's great. This has been
a pleasure.
Oh, awesome. Because this has been themed for your pleasure.